Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Mark my words, if I wanted to get filthy rich, I could write a book on Jesus coming back in 3032. I could write it and I could make money, but I would have to stand before God one day, and I don't want to do that. Stop setting dates.
Jesus said, be ready, because you do not know when the Son of Man is coming. No one knows when Jesus is coming. People have tried to use all sorts of calculations and man-made theories to try to figure out the day, the month, the year that Jesus will return, all for naught. Jesus commanded us to be ready, because he will come as a thief in the night. Stay with us for part two of our study out of Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Who's the child? Well, the child is Christ. Rules with the rod of iron. The child was caught up to God on his throne. Now, some say the child is the church, because the church rules with Christ. And there is a passage that says we will rule with a rod of iron. And so they say, well, we're the church. And there is also a passage that says, we will sit upon his throne as he sits upon his throne. So some say it's the church, but it's not. It is Jesus. That is who he wants to devour. Does he want to devour the church? Certainly. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yes. But this is the battle over the Christ child that was promised, that was brought through Israel, that Israel went through all of its pain and for in order to bring that child in. And if Satan could destroy Israel today, he would stop God's prophecy. He would make God a liar, because God has promised that he's going to restore the nation of Israel spiritually. Let me give you that passage, by the way. It's near the end of my notes. It's Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So there's this mystery that Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant of. Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. And there are people who are wise in their own opinion concerning this. That blindness in part has happened to Israel, because Jews are getting saved today. So blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So it's only partial. Blindness has happened to them until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Did you get it? All Israel will be saved. I don't know if all means every single person, but I know it can't mean a few. It's got to be the vast majority of them that will begin to serve and live for Jesus Christ. And that is the child that he wants to destroy. Now it says the woman fled into the wilderness, and this is the last 3.5 years, where she has a place prepared by God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. We'll talk more about this in the second half of this study, because it gets into more detail about God protecting Israel. God will supernaturally protect Israel. The church has been taken out beforehand. We are not going to receive the wrath of God. I hear people today nonchalantly saying, well, there is no rapture of the church, without dealing with any of the issues. Yeah, well, so what did Jesus mean when Jesus said, pray that you would be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man? What did he mean by that? There, you're going to be able to escape it while you're there? Why are you going to stand before the Son of Man? Well, why does the Bible say that because you kept my word to persevere, I will keep you from the hour of testing that's going to come upon the whole world? They try to say it's going to say, I'll keep you through the hour of testing, but it's going to come upon those who dwell on the earth. We are not earth dwellers. We are citizens. We're pilgrims here, but citizens of heaven. I'm not going to go on making a complete case for the rapture today. I'll do that another time soon, but I won't do it right now. So what else do people say this woman is? Okay, so there's a few other ideas out there. So in the book of Revelation, it says that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs and seasons. And so that idea of signs causes people to say, well, this is a sign in the heavens, this is one of the constellations. There's a book that's written, The Gospel in the Skies or The Gospel in the Stars. I was going to look it up. I forgot to. It's something along those lines, where it takes the constellations and it tells the story of the gospel through the constellations. So I'm not saying that that's not true, okay? Not saying that that's not the case. But what they will say is that Virgo is the woman that is the sign in the sky. And that a rare event took place on September 23rd of 2017, where the sun was by her head and the moon was by her feet. And Leo is always above her, but Leo has 9 stars. But during this particular time, there were 3 planets that joined it, making 12 stars as the garland over her head. And that Jupiter, the kingly planet, was in Virgo for 9 months and exited Virgo on the 23rd of September in 2017, which is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets. So when that was all given, and you guys may have seen this, right? You may have heard this back in 2007, the triad moons were happening at this time. And so you had writers who were writing about it, and they said Jesus was coming back in September 23rd of 2017. You may remember, like Harold Camping, that did the same thing in setting dates, that I talked about it then. Jesus didn't come back. And what I usually say when a date is set like this is, it ain't going to happen that day, because Jesus says, I'm coming at a time you don't expect it. So every time somebody picks a date, they pick the date wrongly. Now, you say, but it sounds pretty convincing. A sign in the heavens that the sun, clothed in the sun, the moon at her feet, the 12 stars as a garland giving birth to a child, and the kingly planet of Jupiter comes out of her exactly on Rosh Hashanah. Except there are some problems. Number one, Jupiter did not stay in her for 9 months. It moved into her and then went out of Virgo, then came back in and then went out of her. And that doesn't normally happen to babies when babies are inside. That's not a normal event. Secondly, the sun is kind of off to the side of Virgo. It's not clothing her. It's off to the side. And the moon is not under her feet. We're talking technically. Technically, the moon is on the side of her feet, not under her feet during that time. Okay? Thirdly, there are not 9 stars in Leo. There is a stick figure of Leo that's drawn with 9 stars, but there are also stick figures drawn with 10 stars and some with 13 stars. And there's up to 30 stars in Leo. So just to pick 9 is a convenient 9 and then 3 planets. It makes it sound like, well, there must be 12. But why not 16? Why not more than that? And besides that, if you're going to be consistent and say that Virgo is Virgo, the Virgin, okay? Virgo is Virgo. And then you have to say Leo, another constellation, is not a constellation. Leo's not Leo. Virgo's Virgo, but Leo's not Leo. Leo is a wreath that's around her head. So you're not being consistent. And so what they've done is they shoehorn it in. They don't tell you all of the ways it came close but didn't hit it. They tell you as if it is exactly what happened, which to me, by the way, is dishonesty. When you say it lined up exactly like it happened, and that's what people go, wow, well, Jesus is coming back in 2017, and he didn't come back. So what did they do? Remember in 1988, do you remember 88 Reasons for 88? A guy wrote a book, Israel Became a Nation in 1948. There's a passage that says this generation will not pass away. And so a biblical generation is 40 years. So they say it was 1988, Jesus was gonna come back again. 88 Reasons for 88. And then when he didn't come back in 88, he wrote 89 Reasons for 89. I don't know if he ever wrote, 90 Reasons in 90. I don't know if he ever wrote that or not. But it just didn't happen. They changed it. So what did they do when this didn't happen in 2017? They said, well, we made a mistake. It wasn't the beginning of the rapture that was going to happen. It was the beginning of the tribulation period. And then they pick a few things. You remember that Trump was president in 17. And so they take some things from what Trump did, and they take it and they make it like it's the Antichrist coming on the scene. And in that theory, Trump would be the Antichrist, by the way. The Antichrist would come on the scene, and then there was war that took place, which is the main thing Trump kept us from, by the way, was war. Out of all the things that he did, one of the things that he did was keep us out of war, all right? So, but then famine came, and then they have something for famine. And then if you go back, and you can still see these videos. Some of these videos have been scrubbed. They're no longer available. You can't find them. But you can still see some of them where they're talking about April of 2021, there's going to have to be the abomination of desolation. They're going to start sacrifices again. They're not going to build the temple, but they're going to build an altar. They're going to start sacrifices. And the Antichrist is going to commit the abomination of desolation in April, because if tribulation started in September 23rd, then the abomination of desolation had to be 3.5 years into it. And they said in these videos, and I watched one today, if it doesn't happen, I'm wrong. And I'm like, you're wrong, buddy, because it's 2 years later and it didn't happen. So what do? They change it to 7 years. Now Jesus is coming back in 7 years, and they keep changing the date. They keep changing the goalposts, because it's not the sign. That's not what it's about. It's about Israel. And let me just say this, and I'll get off my soapbox with it. Stop setting dates. Harold Camping's gone now. He's not going to set anymore, but he set enough of them. In 1844, William Miller declared, through a very complicated system of days out of the book of Daniel, days and years theory, came to 1844, and there's something called the Great Disappointment. Look it up. People killed themselves because they were so sure that William Miller had that day right. People sold everything they had to get the message that Jesus was coming back in 1844 out there, and they didn't have anything else, and they killed themselves after it. Many Christians left Christianity because the date was set. Jehovah Witnesses that continue to set dates come out of Millerism. Jehovah Witnesses come out of Millerism. They set dates as well. It's because they set dates. Stop setting dates. Do you remember 2000? Remember Y2K? Jesus is going to come back in 2000. Stop setting dates. We're coming to a good round number, 3032. Jesus, they're going to say, was crucified in 32. Now you've got 2,000 years later, 2 days. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. It's been 2 days. Jesus is going to come back in 3032. Mark my words. If I wanted to get filthy rich, I could write a book on Jesus coming back in 3032. I could write it and I could make money, but I would have to stand before God one day, and I don't want to do that. Stop setting dates. Jesus said, Matthew 24:44, I believe. He said, be ready, because you don't know when the Son of Man is coming. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. And here's what they say. This is so, I'm going to be nice. It is so crazy that he says, I'm going to come back at an hour you don't know. So they go, well, we know the hour, but we don't know the day, and we don't know the year. But we just can't know the hour. We can know the day, we can know the year, but we just can't know the hour. This is an idiom. And there is something that I could say after idiom, but I won't. This is an idiom. And an idiom means you don't know. When it says no man knows the hour, it's an idiom saying no one knows at all. It's not saying there's a particular hour you can't know. It's saying no one knows. So stop setting dates, for the love of all that is good and right in the world. Stop setting dates. All right, so let's get to another idea. The next one is that this is the church. Now, this one you could have predicted because of the replacement theology, that God made promises to Israel. This is what replacement theology teaches. God made promises to Israel, but God rejected Israel. And we just read that he did it for a time, right? Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And so they say, God made promises to Israel, but God's going to fulfill the promises in the church. God raised the church up to fulfill the promises. Let me just ask you to try that with a bank. Go and get a mortgage with Wells Fargo, and then go pay it back to Chase and see how that works. When you make a commitment to pay someone something, you can't pay someone else. And when you make a promise to give somebody something, you can't give it to somebody else and keep your promise. Try it with your kids. Promise your kid a bowl of ice cream, go in the kitchen, get it, and bring it back and give it to the sister. See how that works out for you. See if their sense of fairness doesn't ping off. You are, listen, maligning God when you say he made a promise to Israel but is not going to keep it to them. What kind of person does that? What would you call me if I promised to give you something but I gave it to someone else and told you I gave it to you by giving it to them? What kind of person would I be? And now you're saying that's God? That's a maligning of his character. God will not make a promise to Israel. He said, I will never forget you, my people. I've carved you on the palms of my hands. Though a mother forgets a child in her womb, I will never forget you. And God will keep all of his promises to Israel. And so this replacement idea that we're the church, the stars would be the 12 apostles, we gave birth to Jesus. How does that even work? Right? We didn't give birth. The church didn't give birth to Jesus. Jesus gave birth to the church. It was on the, you know, built the, brought, it doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. And neither does the last one. And this last one may be one that if you were out of the Catholic Church, the Orthodox churches teach the same thing. It's the churches that have icons of Mary. Icons are the artwork of a venerated Mary. She's always seen with light around her, right? Sometimes they take this idea and they'll put stars around her, 12 stars around her head. And so oftentimes those in Catholicism will say that it's Mary, that this is a picture of Mary. Now, Mary did give birth to Christ. So there's a way in which it fits, except why is she taken into the wilderness for 3.5 years? Why does the dragon try to kill Mary through all of this time, and how is it still happening when this is a backdrop of the things that are happening forever? It just doesn't fit. And I will caution against overreacting. I've heard people overreact to Mary, where they'll be like, they want to tear Mary down. When Gabriel said, blessed are you among women. Mary wasn't chosen just because, it wasn't like eeny, meeny, miny, mo, I'll choose you, Mary. Mary was chosen because of who she was. Chosen to raise Christ. Chosen to give birth to God, which is a pretty amazing thing. And so we want to guard against slapping, you know, going back and going too far. However, this is not Mary. This is the church. This is Israel. And God's going to protect them for 3.5 years, and it all fits all the way down. Now, three things in closing. Number one, God is restoring and working with the nation of Israel still. We see that clearly. They are a nation today. That doesn't mean they do what's right all the time or even ever. It just means that God's restoring them. God's brought a nation that is a secular nation back into the land. And what makes us think that the secular nation's always going to do what's right? I don't think they have always treated the Palestinian people right. I have seen the hatred for the Palestinians from the Jewish people personally. I've taken a lot of trips over to Israel. And I see the hatred from Palestinians to Jews for sure. Hey, we were stoned there. Not stoned, but stoned with rocks. We went into the Pool of Siloam, and there's a Palestinian neighborhood right next to it, and they threw rocks at us. And Scott Richards got hit in the head. He was with us on that trip. Somebody else got hit in the arm when they threw rocks at us. My buddy, Dan Swanson, who's the pastor of Calvary Chapel Midtown, we're standing by the gate to go into the Pool of Siloam, and we're talking, and a rock slams right by his head. And we're all like, and we look up, and there's missiles coming over, all these rocks flying over, and we dive inside of the gate, and they all come over. Last time we went, and those of you who went with us, you'll remember, you'll know this, last time we went, they had a covering on it. And I'm like, so this is, we're the reason for this covering right here. That's why they have a covering here, so that the neighborhood can't throw rocks over on us. So it goes both ways. Israel isn't doing what's right by the Palestinians, and the Palestinians aren't doing what's right with Israel. Both of them, and there are many Jews who are being saved today, and many, many Palestinians who are being saved today. And you find there are churches that have Palestinian Jews in them in Israel. So God's doing something special, but we don't have to think that just because God's using the nation of Israel that everything Israel does is right. Now, the church is his bride, but we don't replace Israel. If you want to argue about it, I think the church has a higher standard. Israel is his people who he loves and chosen, but we are his bride. We have that special relationship with Christ as the bride of Christ. And finally, we have yet to see Israel flee into the wilderness. That's still in our future. That's going to happen. And when that happens, they will receive Jesus as their Messiah. And we'll get more of that as we make our way through. Stand up with me, would you please, and let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can take time to take a look at these passages, to see what is here. And Lord, to see this picture of the sign of the woman up in the sky and the dragon attacking her and trying to kill the baby as soon as it's born. And we remember Herod trying to kill the babies, trying to kill Jesus literally. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to have the right heart and mind about what's going on in Israel today and keep us from the lie. Whatever the lie is, that is the lie of the last days to deceive the world from the enemy. Keep us from it, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never made a commitment to Christ, we'd love to see you do that. You would say, I want to follow him. I want to become his disciple. Jesus said, if any of you want to be my disciple, then deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't say, if any of you want to be my disciple, I'm going to make your life better. Eventually, that's true. But right now, you lay down your life. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll save it. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We take the heat from the world because we stand up for what's right in Christ. And if today you're here and you want to commit your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And maybe you made a commitment in the past, but you didn't follow through or you walked away and you need to make it right. And you know you need to do that. And if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ and begin living for him, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple or bold right where you are. Just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand, pray with you. God bless you, sir, by the aisle. God bless you guys. Your hands went up immediately. God bless you there, young man. That's great. God bless you guys. Over to the left, that's great. God bless you, ma'am. Back by the sound booth, that's great. All right. You can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand, I saw the other hand there as well, by the way. I'd like you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as your disciple, following you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Now, I don't know exactly what's going on when you raise your hand, if this is the first time you've ever made a commitment to Christ or you're making a recommitment, but either way, we've got a new believers table that's out here in the foyer. We've got a new believers team. These guys are great. We're going to help you get a good, solid start if you're beginning, and we're going to be able to help you get your footing again if you're returning back to Christ, okay? But stop by the table. Make sure to pick up the stuff that we've got for you. We want to help you come out of the starting blocks running really well for Christ. We want to put a Bible in your hands. You can go home tonight and you can begin to read God's word. All right. Now I want to bless you before you go. This blessing's from the book of Numbers. Listen to how God said to speak his name over the people. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you delight yourself in the Lord that he could give you the desires of your heart. And may you walk in the Spirit that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God bless you guys. Stay close to Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.